Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
Matthew 6:9. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Matthew 4:1, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, please tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God."
Thank you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for this beautiful day that you've given us, Lord God. Father, as we come before you today to hear from you, to hear your word, Father, we welcome your Holy Spirit into this place, and may you speak to every person in this house. Every person that hears your word today, may they hear directly from you, and may they experience you in a great and wonderful way, Father. Lord, we give you honor. We give you all the praise. Have your way in Jesus' mighty, wonderful name. Amen. Okay, everybody, take a seat. Take a seat. So, yes. Oh, okay, so I'm excited. I'm excited about today. You know, so good to see everyone here. Wow, so good. It's great to see. If you're here for the very first time, I just want to say welcome. It's so good to see you. Thank you for choosing to be with us here today. And so today we're going to continue in our series of the Lord's Prayer. And so for me personally, this has really opened up my mind to, you know, this Lord's Prayer. It's really opened up my mind. It's like, wow, you know, to see the depth, the breadth, and the width of God, of the Lord's Prayer. When I was growing up, I memorized the Lord's Prayer like everyone else. You know, I learned it in English, I learned it in Psalm 1, and I learned it in Māori. True? E tō mātou mātou o tarangi, kia tapu tō ingoa, kia tau mai tō rangati e ratara. That's enough, that's all I remember. But because I went to a school in Wainui and there was this class, it was like a Māori class. I know, a Samoan in a Māori class? Hello. And this class, and they called it Te Kahui Tamariki. So something to do with the kids, Māori kids, I don't know. But yeah, I went in there and they taught the Lord's Prayer in there. And so it was pretty cool, you know. And so I never really thought about much about the Lord's Prayer, you know. I never really stopped to think about, you know, what does it really mean, you know, or break it down, like what we've been doing over the past few weeks, right? And so, you know, to see and hear how God is speaking to us through his prayer is like pretty amazing. So this prayer is the template that Jesus gives his disciples to use, right? It's the template that Jesus gives to them. And so over the past few weeks, we've been breaking it down like this, okay? So as Ray beautifully read Matthew 6, verse 9, and it says this, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." This is about adoration. This is about adoring God. This is the entry point, the starting point in which we should come into prayer, right? It's about realigning, reminding ourselves of our Heavenly Father, right? This is the entry point, adoration, okay? The next one there, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." This is surrendering to the will of the Father. Surrendering to the good and perfect will of the Father. "Give us this day our daily bread," petition, or as Pastor Nelly called it, our stuff, you know, the stuff we like to pray for us, you know. So this is petition, asking for our daily bread, our daily needs, right, our daily needs. And then we've got, "And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors." This is the confession part, right? Confession, forgiving us, ourselves, forgiving others. And today, I'm going to be speaking from verse 13. And can we all read this together? Okay, all together on three, one, two, three. "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. This is submission. Submission. Submitting to God's leading. Submitting to the direction and plan for God's plan for us. Right? Is that cool? So the title of my message today is When God Leads. Everybody say, When God Leads. And so today I'm going to be unpacking how we can submit to God's guidance, you know, through choosing Him to lead us and deliver us from temptation and from the enemy. So my hope today is that you'll gain a greater understanding of when God leads, it's always for your good. It's always for our good, right? When God leads, He wants the best for you and for me. All right? Is that cool? Okay, just seeing if you're still here. God never leaves us nor forsakes us. He will always be there for us. Okay? So let's go. Let's go. Lead us. Everybody say, lead us. Okay, so there's a story that I came across, and it's about a Navy SEAL. And a Navy SEAL, for those that may not be familiar with the term, okay, it's the United States Navy SEAL. SEAL stands for Sea, Air, and Land, Special Operations Unit. Now, these are the guys that are sent in to eliminate or extract high-level targets. So if these guys are on the job, then you know it's something pretty serious, right? So there's this one particular Navy SEAL team that were on a covert operation to free some hostages in some dark corner of the world, location confidential. The team, they flew in by helicopter, and they made their way to the compound, and they stormed the room that these hostages were in. And the room was dark, it was damp, and it was filthy. And the hostages were curled up in the corner, terrified. When the SEALs entered the room, they heard the gasps from these hostages. As the SEALs stood at the door and called to the prisoners, telling them, "We're Americans. We're here to rescue you. Come on." But the hostages didn't move. They didn't respond. They just sat there, curled up in the corner, hiding their faces in fear. The hostages were not in a healthy state of mind to believe that their rescuers were really there. The SEALs didn't know what to do. They couldn't possibly carry each one of them out of that place one by one. So one of the SEALs steps forward. He puts his weapon down. He takes off his helmet. And then he goes over to where the hostages are, and he sits there, crouches really tightly against them, and then he puts his arms around them. And he just sits there with them. He softens the look on his face, and he just stays there. After some time, some of the hostages began to lift their head up, and they look at him. And when their eyes met, the Navy SEAL whispers, "We're Americans. We're here to rescue you. Will you follow us?" That SEAL then stood to his feet, and then one of the hostages stood to his feet, and then another hostage, and another one, and another one, until all of them were standing and willing to follow them out. That day, 12 hostages were set free. This SEAL that stepped forward and posed this very thought-provoking action and question to these hostages was one that didn't force anything onto them, right? He came to them not with any sort of agenda. He didn't manipulate them or anything like that. He just wanted to ask them this question: will you follow us? We can help you. Will you follow us? And this is the same question that Jesus poses to every person who hears the message of the gospel. Will you follow me? Will you follow the leading of Jesus out of the filthy, dark, isolated parts of your life to freedom? And you're probably thinking, my life isn't filthy, Henry. My life isn't dark and isolated. I'm not talking about an outer sort of life that you're living. I'm talking about the inner life. What's happening inside of you, in your mind, in your heart? How do you really think about that person who you see on the street who's begging for money? How do you really feel about that person who just cut you off on the motorway? You might have just smiled, but inside you might have been pulling something. That's all happening on the inside. On the outside, we may look good. We may, oh, yeah, I'm good. I'm good. But that filth and that darkness is on the inside. How we think, how we see things. Jesus came to set the captives free, to set us free. We sang about it in the song at the beginning. He came for the sick. He came for the hurting. He came for the broken, the marginalized, the forgotten, the ones that society had kicked aside and rejected. That's who Jesus came for. He came for us. Jesus came to give us life and life more abundantly. He is our rescuer. The more that I've read and thought about these words of lead us, the clearer my thinking becomes of the fact that I need Jesus. We need Jesus. We need his guidance. We need his wisdom. We need his protection, his power, his authority. We need his deliverance for us. So there should be no ounce of doubt that we need to submit to his leading. Leading us requires submission on our part. Submission on our part, right? God alone is the one that can lead us away from temptation and the enemy. So this is me just thinking about this, right? The very fact that these specific things of temptation and evil, right? The words are, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The fact that these very words are in there for us to pray, being singled out like that in prayer, means that God knows something, that this is an area that we need help in. These are specific things that we need help in, that we need his help in, right? Do you see that? We need God to lead us away from these things. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Think about this. Temptation has been around since Adam and Eve, right? It was the temptation to become like God, knowing good and evil, that invited sin into the heart, soul, and mind of man and woman. Remember what the serpent said back in Genesis 3:1? He said, did God actually say, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? Did God actually say that? Any tree. Are you sure he said that? You see how we twisted this up? This little seed of doubt became the doorway for temptation, where temptation could enter into the hearts of man, right? This little doubt here, are you sure? Any tree, are you sure? There was a choice to be made here. Either close the door on their temptation with a, no thank you, I know what God said, thanks. Or the other choice was to entertain that thought and believe the lie. And for Adam and Eve, it was the choice to entertain and believe the lie, right? And that became the downfall for man. So God knew if it happened once before, it can certainly happen again. Because his perfect creation that he created in the beginning has now been tainted by sin. And so God's saying, okay, I need my children to know that they can pray to me about this. And so he embeds it in the Lord's Prayer, right? He embeds it in the Lord's Prayer because he knows that we need help in this area. And so he instructs us through the Lord's Prayer. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We need God's protection from temptation and the enemy. In Exodus, it tells the journey of the people of Israel, right? From slavery in Egypt, you know, to being set free from the hand of Pharaoh. You know, God was the one leading Moses, right? And Moses was the one leading the people. And when you think about this journey that God was leading Moses and the people through to the promised land, there were moments that were like, oh, why go that way, God? Why do that? In Exodus 13, 17 to 18, it says, when Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near, for God said, lest the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. But God led the people around by the way of the wilderness. Everyone say wilderness. Toward the Red Sea. And the people of Israel went up out of the land of Egypt, equipped for battle. there was definitely a shorter route to get to the destination, right? There was definitely a shorter route. Although that was near, there was a shortcut to get there. But God didn't take them that way because he knew that they weren't strong enough to go that pathway. Yes, it was short. Yes, it was close. But now they need to go this way. They need to go through the wilderness. One of the major challenges of going through that shortcut route, the coastal route, was that there were many Egyptian outposts. So there were army camps along that road, along that coastal route, because that was like a main highway for services and goods to be sold. You know, it was a popular road. It was a good road for those people who were selling stuff in there. But with all the Egyptian armies along those routes, God knew, nah, if the people go that way, they will see the Egyptians. And something's going to change in them. They're going to want to say, nah, God, take us back to Egypt. Take us back to Egypt. And so he takes them through the wilderness. Takes them around. Yes, it's the long way around, 40 years long. But God's like saying, nah, you need to go this way. God knew the Israelites weren't ready for that mentally to walk through those challenges. So he leads them through the route of the wilderness. Everyone say the wilderness. So what we see here is that the first thing is that when God leads, it's always the right way. Not necessarily the shortest, but it is the best way for us, right? When God leads. You know, sometimes we're probably looking for the shortcut out, the short way to get to here, short way to get to there in our lives. But God is saying, no, I want to take you through this. And the reason I want to take you through this is because there's some things I need to take care of along the way through you, right? There's some things that need to come out. There's some things, there's some mindsets, there's some attitudes that need to drop off on along this journey. Yeah, it's the long way around, but it's going to be good for you in the long run, right? It's going to be good for you. You know, I think back to when we were planning on initially coming here to Brisbane in 2005, or 2004 we started talking about, but in 2005, plans were in place that me and my wife, we were going to be part of a church plant team coming here to Brisbane to start a church. And it was June of 2005. It was all set, ready to go. And then in March of 2005, we get this unexpected news that my dad had passed away unexpectedly while he was in Samoa. 3 months out. And I was thinking, man, what am I going to do? And the interesting thing, people were asking me, are you still going? Are you still going to go? Are you still going to go be part of the church plant? Man, you know, do you want to stay and look after your mom and your sisters and help them out right now in this season? And those questions that people were asking me, in my head, I was starting to question myself, should I go? You know, I am the oldest, right, in my family. So now the dad's gone, I should stay and take care of mom and my sisters, even though I'm married to my wife. But it was, honestly, it was the Holy Spirit within me that brought this peace. And I remember it was in this place, I think it was just after the funeral, and I was sitting with my mom and my sisters and my wife in my parents' room. And as we were talking about the day, something within me, and I believe it was the Holy Spirit within me that was saying, they're going to be all right. I have called you to Brisbane. I've called you to Brisbane. Come on. Sorry, I forgot to tell you, I'm a bit of a sookie, so sometimes stuff. No, it doesn't hurt. It's just, I don't know. You know, when I talk about that, I thought it's been over 15 years, but man, when I think about it, I say, my parents could be here. It'd be awesome. But, you know, it was the Holy Spirit within me that was like, I've called you to this. I will take care of them, and I'll take care of you. Now you go and take care of what I've called you to do, right? When God leads, it's always the right way. Not necessarily the shortest, but it is the right and best way for us. Amen? Now I want to turn our attention to Matthew 4, verses 1 to 4. And it says this, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Everyone say wilderness. To be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. And Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. This is just one example of Jesus being led by the Spirit. So we should take encouragement from this, right? From the situation that Jesus knows what it's like to be tempted. Okay? Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. So right here, there was a purpose for Jesus going into the desert, into the wilderness. He wasn't going there just to have a relaxing time from away from people. He wasn't going there to catch up on the latest Netflix. He was going there to be tested. He was going there to be tempted by the tempter. So what we see here in this example is that when God leads, there is always opportunities to apply His word. There's always opportunities to apply His word. That's the principle that Jesus is giving us here. That when the enemy comes at you, at your family, at your finances, at your health, at your community, at your workplace, what are you going to say to it? What are you going to say to the enemy when he comes for it? We want to be encouraged to lean into the word of God. Lean into the word of God. What God has spoken in His word. Right? Is that good? But in order for us to use that authority and that power in His word, we got to know the word. Right? We've got to read the word. We've got to open it up and let it speak to us and let it show us what is it that needs to change in me, God? Now, as I was reading this passage, I was reminded of what happened in the Garden of Eden, right? Where the serpent tried to bring doubt into the heart of man and woman, right? And on that day, he succeeded, right? Because that was the fall of man. But in the wilderness, against Jesus, and Jesus is coming off his 40-day fast. Wow, 40 days. And the devil uses the same tactic, trying to plant doubt, trying to plant deception. Three times, he gets three swings at this, and he still doesn't get the W, right? Jesus quoted the word of God to defeat him. The word of God. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. It is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and Him alone you shall serve. Each of these responses to the tempter was quoted from Exodus and Deuteronomy, where when Israel was going through their wilderness, right? How long did it take for them? 40 years. Jesus spent 40 days. But that's where he's quoting from. Because what happened in the wilderness for the people of Israel? In the wilderness, God gave them the law. That's the law. And that's where Jesus is quoting from. His word that he gave to the people of Israel. He's using it. When the devil's coming to him, he's using that to quote, to defeat the enemy. He's using that was hundreds of years earlier. He's quoting that. The law that God gave to Israel. So, what do you quote when you go through temptation? Or, who do you quote when you go through temptation? Let's have some fun. Is it your favorite song? Okay, Justin Bieber. Well, I don't care. When I'm with my baby, yeah, all the bad things disappear, and you're making me feel like maybe I'm somebody. What about this one? Everything is nothing if I can't have you. Ooh. Fellas. Or maybe it's some YouTuber that you see, right? You know, I've watched those YouTubers right there. They're like hard out. Subscribe to my channel. Click on the subscribe. Smash that subscribe button. Smash that like button. I know you want my content. Come on, let's do it. You want to hear more of me? Smash it. I was like, bro, you turn it down, man. Just ask nicely, you know? But, you know, are you listening to that? Or maybe it's something that you've heard somewhere, right? Just in passing. And you've heard it and you thought, oh, yeah, that's pretty cool. You don't believe it or anything. But then you just quote that, you know, at that time. Listen to this. The goal of the enemy is to deceive us and bring doubt. That's his goal. That's his objective, is to bring doubt and deception into our hearts and our minds. The Word of God should be our ultimate source of truth and what should come naturally out of our mouths. In 2 Timothy 3:16 to 17, I love what this says. It says that all scripture, everybody say all scripture, is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching. Teaching, yes. For reproof, oh. For correction, ow. For training in righteousness, oh, who likes a bit of training, eh? That the man or woman of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Amen. Now I remember Pastor Nelly, he gave us some creative ways in which to improve our prayer vocabulary, right? And so I want to remind us of some of these things today, because these are the tools that we can tap into, that we can, you know, lean into to help declare and you know, and even ask for you know, for God's leading during those times of when the temptation comes, right? Is that cool? So here it is. The first one, prayer journaling. Prayer journaling is great. You know, when you're writing your prayers down, anyone here write your prayers down in a journal here? Yeah. Awesome, some, excellent. So, yeah, it's great to write them down because you can see what you're praying, see what you're praying for, you know. You see if you're praying the same old things all the time. You know, fellas, you know, when you're praying, single guy, and you're like praying, oh, Lord, I pray for that, my next door, that lady, wowza, Lord. Lord, do a miracle. And, like, you know, you're like, do you pray for your salvation first? Gosh, you know, praying for those things, keeping a prayer journal. When we have a prayer journal, we can see what we're praying for, right? And you can see, you know, the great thing about having a prayer journal, we can see what God has done as well in terms of answered prayer. We get to see it right there in black and white or on your screen if it's on your tablet or on your device. Right? That's a great way to see what God has done and will continue to do in your life, right? Number two, praying the Word. So I'm reading this book called Praying the Bible by Donald Whitney. And man, it's a great book. And in the book, he talks about how to pray the book of Psalms, right? And so I'm doing a little bit of research. And the word Psalms comes from the Greek word psalmos, which means song. So the book of Psalms is a collection of songs, Israel's songs, right? So the book is filled with worship, it's filled with mourning, it's filled with praise, it's filled with passion, it's filled with distress, it's filled with depression, excitement, questions, and confidence. It's all that in there in the book of Psalms. And when I think about it, I think, wow, that's like a lot of the songs that we have today, right? It's tapping into our emotions. It's tapping into our mindset and our feelings and stuff like that. But it's like the object of worship is different. It's not God, but it's the person, right? That's what we're facing towards when we're thinking about these things. So if we want to really find the next hit song of, you know, of what God is wanting to do, you know, if you want something that'll fill your soul, fill your spirit, why don't you open up the book of Psalms and read that? It's great, man. Have a look in the book of Psalms. It'll be like a roller coaster, right? But it's a roller coaster for your soul to help you, right? Is that cool? Okay, number three. Number three is the prayer apps, right? So prayer apps, there are prayer apps out there that you can download. And like one that we use is Common Prayer App. And so that has three prayers: morning prayer, midday prayer, and evening prayer. So anytime in the morning spend a time of prayer and you're not sure what to pray for, open this up. Download this app, open it up, and just pray that. Meditate on it, think about it, and ask God, how do you want me to use this in this moment right now? You know, the prayer app, it's great. Is that all right? So we want to be positioned in such a way that when we go through temptations, that we don't lean into the things that are temporary. You know, we don't lean into the things that give us temporary satisfaction. But we want to lean into the things that are eternal, things that are truthful, the things that are life-giving, like the inspired, living, breathing Word of God. And so, in review, okay, we're coming in to land now. Here we go. When God leads, it's always the right way. Not necessarily the shortest way, but it is the best way for us. And then number two, when God leads, there are always opportunities to apply His Word. And so we want to go into a time of discussion, okay? So there's some questions up here. And I want you to have a chat with the people on your chair there, or if you want to have a chat with the people around you. And do you see God's leading in the following areas of your life? In the area of your calling, in the area of growing in Him, in your personal relationship with Him, and in the area of identity. Look at why not? How do you see this? So what is the evidence that you see in this area? So in terms of calling, right? Why? In the area of calling, what, you know, how do you see God in the area of calling? Well, I'm serving in ministry. I'm walking out in that, you know. That could be a proof of how you see that. Is that all right? So once you go, I'll give you about 5 to 7 minutes. Have a chat. Pick one of those questions. You can pick one of them and just chat about it in your group, and then we'll come back together as our team leads us into worship. Is that all right? So we'll keep these up and go from there. Is that cool?
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.